Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. I'm not ashamed to say I hope it always will stay this way. My hat is off, won't you stand up and take a bow?
It's tough to unmute, as I think everybody that knows the song was singing along with it. Hello, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving before I get sidetracked, because we all know I can do that. And I want to take a minute. I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody from all my Late Night Poets members, and as well as everyone who participates with our Late Night Poets radio shows. We're grateful for each of you and all that you bring to the Late Night Poets, be it your voice, your written word, your wit, activity in the room, but just your laughter. We're thankful for having met each and every one of you, and we've been truly blessed. Much love and many hugs from Fill My Eyes and all of our radio hosts. So there we go. I want to thank everybody. You know, today's a day to be thankful. And every day should be a day to be thankful. But we all get wrapped up in whatever else is going on around us, so it's not always easy. But it's one day that we all set aside to be grateful and, you know, express that to the people that mean a lot to us. So, with that being said, happy Thanksgiving again. Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am definitely thankful for all I have and, you know, for the friends in my life and, you know, for definitely for the late night poets and everyone who participates in the shows, for the hosts and hostesses, but, you know, and the people who write for the shows or listen, and, you know, it's all good. It just, you definitely feel truly blessed, so.
Yeah, it's a good feeling, you know, you get, because if it wasn't for the people who participate, you know, it wouldn't be in vain, that would be the point. You know, I mean, that's what the shows are all about. It's for everybody. So, you know, and I've said before in a poem that, you know, different people do different things. Some put music in the room, some chatter in the room, some only put up poems on the reading list and that, you know, you don't even know they're there, but you know they're there and things like that. So it's always, you know, there's always somebody in the background, you know, that kind of sometimes gets lost because they're not visible to everyone. But we know you're there, and we appreciate every one of you. Absolutely. So, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. How was your day? Mine was quiet. I like it.
Mine was quiet, too. Mine was quiet, too, and we are doing our Thanksgiving on Saturday, which will still be fairly quiet, but it's going to be at least two of my children. A third might show up.
There you go.
And then they each have a friend coming over. So
nice.
That'll be nice. Yep. Got a lot of food planned. I probably got more food planned than I actually need, but, you know, it's all good. It makes for good leftovers.
Absolutely. Well, my sister had Thanksgiving last Sunday with everybody. And my daughter was supposed to cook today, but my daughter ended up sick yesterday. So we scratched that idea. And we had turkey bowls from Wawa because it was just perfect. You know, I was like, my turkey's frozen in the oven, so it wasn't going to happen that way, you know. And then, you know, tomorrow I'm not going to do anything exciting. And Sunday we have kind of a Thanksgiving dinner with my brother-in-law. So I'm like, I don't really need to cook anything huge, you know, to linger around.
Yeah.
So it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, nobody needs the, I don't know, it's a lot. So maybe, like, we'll give it a week or something after, and I'll pull that turkey out and let it defrost for a week and then throw it in the oven.
That sounds good.
I don't know anybody else, but
yeah, I was going to say, I went with egg salad because that's like an all-time favorite of mine and my kid, Nessa. So it works. And I made it spicy because I happen to have a jar of jalapeno slices. So I chopped those up fine and mixed that in with the other stuff, and it was good.
There you go. Sounds good. Yeah. So anyway, we have one huge board of poetry tonight. I mean, huge. So, I mean, it's going to be fun. Anything that does not get read tonight, I'm going to move over to my tomorrow night show. So I have to say that ahead of time because I can't imagine us getting through it all. But we'll give it a whirl, see what we can
Absolutely.
Do. Yes.
Well, I'd like to let you know that Naomi and Laurent have both joined us. Welcome, Naomi and Laurent. Glad you could be here.
Hello and happy Thanksgiving.
Hello.
Absolutely.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Did you guys have a nice Thanksgiving?
Well,
I
always
have a bad one.
Huh?
I was just going to say our Thanksgiving is in October there.
Absolutely. Did you have a good day, Naomi?
Yeah. I had a good day.
Absolutely. Oh, too funny. And, Laurent, what did you say?
Well, what I'm going to say is that you spend a day and a half cooking, making a mountain of dishes, lathering in soap up your elbows, and it's all gone in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It seems almost anticlimactic.
Absolutely.
We had a great Thanksgiving.
Well, at least you know the food was enjoyed.
Absolutely.
If it's gone that quickly, so that's always a good thing.
Well, the meal is over, but there's a lot of food left.
Yep.
Turkey soup. Turkey hat.
Yeah.
Hot turkey sandwiches. I mean, you name it for the next week, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh, those are all great leftovers.
Absolutely. So, okay. Pam, I think we have another caller, and I'm going to pull up this first poem for tonight. Okay. Do we have another call, Pam?
I'm here.
Hi. Who's calling?
It's Dottie.
Hi, Dottie. How are you tonight?
I'm great.
Hey.
Hi.
Very
good to hear from all of you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi, Dottie.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi,
Dottie. Absolutely.
Happy the whole gang.
It's good to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I don't know what I just did, but I have to redo it. Okay.
I'm hearing you guys talk to me on my computer. I'm sorry, that's annoying.
You can't run the radio when you're on the radio. It just doesn't work that way. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put up this first poem, which I just pulled. I thought there was a famous poet that wrote this, but everything I found said anonymous the other day. So this is called Counter Blessings. And it was a little bit like Thanksgiving. It's, wait a second. Nothing ever just as simple, is it? It's called Counter Blessing, and it goes, count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. And count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. And count on God instead of yourself. End quote. And I just thought that was a good way to start off the show.
Very nice.
There's a lot of truth to that. You know, you have to look at the positive elements in your life. Otherwise, it can sour you. And God knows I've been soured a few times over. But roll me in sugar and I might come out even. I don't know. But anyway, so I wanted to put that out there for everyone. And that. So, let me see.
I like the poem.
When I heard that years ago, I thought it was just wonderful. And it must be around the same time as I was introduced to Christina Rossetti, because for some reason I attributed this to her. And I couldn't find it anywhere with anybody's name. So, the way it works sometimes. Mm-hmm. Now, is anyone in a hurry to leave tonight, Laurent? Do you have to get out of here, or are you going to be for a while?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm in my second day of a product called gabapentin, I've been told that it's got some strange side effects, but so far the results are encouraging.
Yeah.
So as long as the legs permit me to be here, I will be here.
Okay. Well, there we go. And I guess that's a good thing.
I'll leave when you guys leave. Push me out the door.
Well, we're not pushing anybody out of any doors, so you may as well hunker down. That's what happens around here. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, kind folks, good to have you here. Pam, I'm going to ask you to start us off with this one. And this is called Harvesting the Seasons, Bridges of Beauty and Change by Sarah Walters. So whenever you're ready.
I apologize. I can't help you with that one.
Okay. Naomi, do you want to read this one for us?
Off mute will be better, yes. Okay.
Yes, it will.
Sarah Walters, yes. Beauty, Harvesting the Seasons, Bridges of Beauty and Change. In golden hues, the autumn leaves cascade. A bridge emerges, nature's masterpiece displayed. Within this forest, beauty finds its stride, where seasons change and music does reside. The bridge stands tall, a symbol of connection, reflecting the journey, our soul's intersection. As harvest time approaches, fields abound, bounty and abundance, nature's gifts surround. The trees ablaze in vibrant shades of red and gold whisper tales of seasons past, stories yet untold. Their branches, like arms outstretched in grace, embrace the changing tides, nature's rhythmic chase. We too, like the seasons, go through cycles of change, harvesting lessons, evolving, and rearranging. For life's beauty lies not just in tranquil scenes, but also in growth, resilience, and what it means. As the brushstrokes of light paint our canvases anew, we navigate bridges, both old and those we pursue. In the autumn forest, we find solace and release, a reminder that beauty resides in change, not cease. So let us cherish this season, its gifts and its strife, embrace this harvest, the ebb and flow of life. And as we journey across our own bridges, wide and narrow, may we find beauty, purpose, and joy to truly herald. End poem.
Great. Great read, Naomi. And let's see, Laurent, do you want to start us off on this one?
Certainly. I love the title on this, Harvesting the Seasons, Bridges of Beauty and Change. There's an immediate reference to the bridge in the first stanza, but in the second, the bridge stands tall, a symbol of connection, reflecting the journey, our soul's intersection. As harvest time approaches, fields abound, bounty and abundance, nature's gifts surround. There's a great rhythm in this particular poem, as evidenced in this particular stanza. And the bridge, in the physical sense, stands tall, but a symbol of connection speaks to something beyond the physical being, but of all life itself. Described beautifully in the third stanza, trees ablaze in vibrant shades of red and gold, and references in the next stanza, the seasons go through cycles of change, and that's part of what we are, living in a world where things change, yet the seasons renew, and we find a peace in that, I think. So let us cherish this season, its gifts and its strife, embrace the harvest, the ebb and flow of life, and that reflects the connectivity that we have to life, to nature, to the bridges that we have to cross, literally and metaphorically. And really, the poem that has depth and a certain beauty that makes it very enjoyable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a beautiful piece. And Dottie, do you want to comment on this one?
Oh, I knew I was going to be next. It was very nice written. It's beautiful in its rhyme. It is all about life and seasons change. It's been connected with nature. I like ablaze and vibrant shades of red and gold, whisper tales of seasons past, stories yet untold. I think that's a very beautiful line. And I especially like the last, the very last stanza. So we cherish the seasons, gifts, and strife. And it talks about crossing bridges, journey, which may or may not talk of death. Another change in the human element, I suppose. But is anybody else confused as I am by the last word? I believe it may be a typo. The word harrow, may we find beauty, purpose, and joy to truly harrow.
If something is harrowing, it's scary.
Harrow means like to destroy or disturb, does it not? Or you guys help me.
Cause distress to draw a narrow, harrow over land, plowed earth, break up clods, remove weeds, and cover seed.
Okay. So I guess that plays along with the bucolic sort of feel of what's going on in the poem. But it stopped me here, so I didn't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. Naomi, how about you?
Funny that Dottie said that, because me too, right at the end. I don't know if you noticed, but I paused right there. But me too, the word hero there. But, you know, from what you said, Phil, I think you can associate it to the word almost harvest, you know. So may we find beauty, purpose, and joy to truly, you know, harvest, I guess, from what you said, so it works. But, you know, amazing rhythm and rhyme throughout this poem. I like that, you know, she describes us, the human, us human folks. you know, she brings up the seasons as a metaphor for us going through life, changing, evolving. And I really like that stanza. We too, like the seasons, go through cycles of change. You know, harvesting lessons, evolving and rearranging, and it's true. And you know, like the seasons, you know, we grow, we become resilient. You know, everything that, you know, so we're really relates us to nature, and we change as the seasons change, we grow and we change. So wonderful, right here by Sarah Walters. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I thought this was a beautifully penned piece. It was lovely imagery, and it was well-expressed thoughts and emotions. I liked the rhyme throughout, but I thought it was an excellent piece for the season. And I started here. I grabbed two stanzas, but I could have picked any two stanzas. So, you know, I have to be honest. The trees ablaze in vibrant shades of red and gold, whisper tales of seasons past, stories yet untold. Their branches like arms outstretched in grace, embrace the changing tides, nature's rhythmic chase. We too, like the seasons, go through cycles of change, harvesting lessons, evolving and rearranging. For life's beauty lies not just in tranquil scenes, but also in gross resilience and what it means. I just thought she did a really nice job with the rhyme on this. So thank you so much, Sarah Walters. Great job and a nice piece to share tonight.
Great. Very nice.
Nice work. Let me see now. Pam, I'm coming back to you. And this piece is called Thankful Together by Jenny the Deep. So whenever you're ready.
Thankful for finding divinity's strength and light,
holding holy love in my heart, contentment grows. Amazed by autumnal hues, vibrant and bright, nectarine orange foliage meets apricot yellows, kites flying, windy weather is quite a delight. Finally, family is gathering, pleasantly mellow, unlike other days filled with bickering fights. Lovely holidays bring back better tomorrows. To all who have transformed my gray life, overjoyed I am that I'm no longer living solo. Grateful to see red saturating sweet skies, enjoying enchanting entertaining echoes, though not all can be here in this holiday night. Hope hovers high as winter, winds bellow. Everyone and everything has a reason to shine, rising with the sun's warm glow, say hello. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. And Laurent, you want to start us off in this one? I think I started off with you last time, but we'll work it out eventually.
No problem at all. A lovely way to start the piece. Thankful for finding divinity, strength, and light. Holding a holy love in my heart, contentment grows. There's a strong flavor of spirituality there, followed by the amazing colors of autumn. Amazed by autumnal hues, vibrant and bright, nectarine orange foliage meets apricot yellows. It's a delightful combination of colors. And the season, of course, is a wonderful one for kite flying. And as a holiday season, family is gathering, pleasantly mellow. It's nice when we have gatherings where you don't have bickering or fights. Although I have to think that sometimes that does happen at holidays. To all who have transformed my gray life. That's again, the very powerful first line to start off a stanza. Overjoyed I am that I'm no longer living solo. I'm not sure if that refers to the people coming for the holiday or whether there's a new relationship that is adding to the joy of the season. I especially like the line, grateful to see reds saturating sleet skies, not only for the alliteration, but for the image that it offers. Wonderful piece, Jenny.
Nice. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, I agree with everything that Laura said. You know, beautiful colors throughout the poem. You know, I love also the how it opens. But, you know, the line that struck a chord with me was, though not all can be here this holiday night. You know, you're still thankful for having that family because, you know, especially with me because, you know, I live here in Quebec and you know, it's such a huge, huge province, you know. I have to travel like almost 8 hours to visit with my daughter, Kim. And then Pam lives almost, you know, 2 hours away. And, you know, my parents, they live like 6 hours away. And so we can't always be together at holidays. But, you know, we do take a time where we rent a cottage and, you know, either in the summer and once in the winter and we all get together, the whole family gets together in a cottage, you know, we meet halfway. And so, yeah, that resonated with me, you know, that line, though not all can be there here this holiday night. But wonderful, wonderful write by Jenny the Deep, beautifully done.
Nice comment, Naomi. And Dottie, how about you?
Okay. I have my notes here. Let me get back to me and I'll get my notes straightened out. I'm sorry.
Pam, somebody. How about you?
Oh, I thought this was lovely. I just realized after reading her AN that this is actually an acrostic spelling out the phrase thankful together. That is really cool. I like that she did that. It's a great rhyming poem. I really enjoy the sense of appreciation that's in this. And I particularly like the lines, hope hovers high as winter winds bellow, and then, you know, lovely how holidays bring back better tomorrows. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice comment. And kind poet in the room said, well, if I can find it now, brilliant imagery in this poem. It helped her imagine the scene. And she liked the rhyme scheme, too. She thought it was amazing. Mm-hmm. So, Dottie, are you ready?
Yeah, I think I'm. Okay. The whole poem just hits me as someone who is so truly grateful and has written a very heartfelt poem of deep gratitude. And I feel that also. And it's an infectious kind of poem. It speaks to people, and it is uplifting rather than, you know, drab or mundane. It has a feeling of hope and optimism. And the words are simple. There's an easy to understand. You don't feel like you have to dig through it to try to figure out any metaphors or odd sort of sentences. But I love the words divinity, enchanting, and eccentric within there. And pretty much that defines my thanksgiving for the past. Eccentric may be the top one. But it's a very elegant poem, and I feel lots of truth oozing out of it. And very nice job.
Nice comment, Donnie. I thought this was a nicely penned acrostic, a great reflection of gratitude for family getting together and appreciation for time shared. I like the first stanza of the poem. Not that the second one was worse or anything. They were both good, but I something about the first one I was drawn to. So I said it was very well done and much enjoyed. So thank you for sharing with us, Jenny. Great job. And Laurent, I have one for you to read. This is called The Harvest by S. Sharp.
All right.
I can't find it.
The Harvest. I traveled north at harvest, up near Nampa, along 10-mile road, mulling over all that time we drove through the gold, red, green, and brown leaves of fall, where marigolds are memories. An autumn sprawls, a child crawling on the floor. There, the first leafless tree stands like smoke, lingering over the body of the earth, whispering foggy memories. And his promise never fails. Birds overhead dive and sail off the leaf-covered lawns, pecking at fall's last regard. Spring's prayer nestles in the bounty of fall. A reprieve, a rest for weary hearts and soil. Time for time and time embroiled, in nurturing ourselves in blankets of snow, wrapped in blankets made by grandma, or made by earnest reflection. Somewhere in the ides of life, sunsets cast shadows and shade on the north side of the mountains. Snow-covered peaks turn to snow-covered valleys. Wild turkeys run about like antelope with nowhere to go. Storms rage. Everywhere seams but unmarked snow. Then sunrise glimmers off the slopes, crack of dawn. New day hopes and thankfulness gather in bay windows with hot chocolate, wrapped in memories, in time. Speaking of God's bounty, gathering together, awash in laughter, in love, and all seems fine. And poem.
Nice read, Laurent. And Naomi, do you want to start us off?
Oh, what an absolutely beautiful poem and wonderful read, Laurent. My gracious, this is absolutely beautiful. You know, I just love how he goes into, you know, the fall, the fall where marigolds are memories and autumn sprawls, the metaphor of a child crawling on the floor. But, you know, also it brings in mind, yeah, it's a metaphor, but, you know, our children are at Thanksgiving, you know, you see the little ones crawling on the floor and playing there. So, yeah, it just brings up it's a metaphor, but it brings up the image into our mind, too. And then what else? This is so beautiful. Winter's promise never fails. Birds overhead dive and sail onto leaf-covered lawns, pecking at fall's last regard. Pecking at fall's last regard. That's such a beautiful line. And then spring's prayer nestled in the bounty of fall, a reprieve, a rest for weary hearts and soil. That's so beautiful. And then he goes into the blankets of snow, or, you know, the blankets made by grandma or made by her, by earnest reflection. So, you know, he strikes on, he takes one thing and he wraps it into different things there, you know, the snow, the blanket of snow, this blanket of grandma, but also the blanket of our reflections, which is so neat. You know, and then when he goes into the mountains and the turkeys and the imagery in here is to die for. It's just absolutely beautiful. What I think I was like the most is new day hopes and thankfulness gather in bay windows with hot chocolates wrapped in memories and time, you know, and that those last few lines. Just such a beautiful write by Scott here. Just bravo.
Absolutely. Nice comment. And Dottie, how about you?
Well, that one's hard to follow. I think Naomi touched almost everything about that poem. As Naomi said, I find this filled with imagery, evocative of nostalgia. You can almost smell the Thanksgiving, the bounty of fall. There's hope and thankfulness, as was said in the poem, with each day. And the word sunrise glimmers off the slope and the crack of dawn, and the image of people that gather in bay windows with the hot chocolate. It is cozy. It's like having on a pair of fuzzy socks sitting by the fire and totally happy with nature, with life, with people, family. It's a lovely poem, and I appreciate it.
Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is beautiful. It has wonderful imagery and metaphors. I like the nostalgic feel of it. And an excellent write on the journey of life where memories are created and blessings are found. And I especially like the stanza that starts with spring's prayer nestles in the bounty of fall, a reprieve, a rest for weary hearts and soil. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Great, great comment. And Laurent, I know you read it, but how about you?
Well, I was struck by the phrasing and the imagery in this. I like the way he starts it. I traveled north in harvest up near Nampa along 10-mile road. It immediately personalizes the piece. It's not something that's ethereal, something that's being done. In phrasing like where marigolds are memories, in autumn sprawls, a child crawling on the floor, as well as the first leafless tree stands like smoke lingering over the body of the earth. Those are phrases to treasure. And there are other good ones as well. It's in the Ides of Life. Sunsets cast shadows in shade. It's also delightful. This is real evidence of the quality of Scott's writing. and speaks well to the time when we gather together, awash in laughter and love, and all seems fine. Really, really well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. I thought this was a gorgeous piece by Scott. Awesome imagery, and I don't see the prompt number or a prompt number here. He may have used more than one. But a new day, hopes and thankfulness. Gathering bay windows with hot chocolate. And I know that there's a similar image in the bunch. But it's just a wonderful piece. Each stanza really is top notch, I think. And the blankets, that one got me too. And blankets made by grandma or made by earnest reflection. You know, a lot of times when grandma's making a blanket, she's doing a lot of reflecting there. So I'm going to say that. But I really just think that it was top-notch piece. And well done, Scott. And I thank you so much for sharing with us. I really enjoyed it. So excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, Dottie, I have one for you. And
okay.
This one is called Giving Thanks with Love by Betty Page.
I think I read Betty's last time. That's great. I like her work. Okay, here we go. Giving thanks with love. Giving thanks with love, watching leaves cascade, red, orange, yellow, and gold, sitting on my porch, writing poetry with strings of soft city lights, illuminating, contemplating thoughts, whirlwinds rushing through my mind. I write gratitude, tribute to loved ones here and up in the heavens, all of my angels, showing me such kindness. I'm amazed as I give thanks to all those I love. Inside is the feast, head of table makes a speech, we toast with some wine, swirling round our cups, tasting the beauty of love, embracing pure love, the gathering vine. I share what I've written over tea and pie. A beautiful day to give thanks and to show love, honors God above. End of poem.
Nice read. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank
and
you.
Pam, that's going to make me start with you.
All right. Well, I think this is an absolutely beautiful and heartfelt write on gathering together to share the joys of friendship and good food, but also the beauty and joys of poetry. I really like contemplative thoughts, whirlwinds rushing through my mind. I write gratitude, tribute to loved ones here and up in the heavens, all of my angels. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Laurent, that brings me to you.
I think I just commented you know.
No.
Or am I behind again?
I think you're behind.
Oh, Betty Page. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I'm just wondering. This, yeah, Canton does have side effects. It can make you fuzzy. Watching leaves cascade, red, orange, yellow, and gold, sitting on my porch writing poetry. That's an image. It's perhaps not unfamiliar to those of us who write poetry. Simply enjoy sitting on the porch, watching autumn leaves blow. The tributes to loved ones, the kindness, the feast, the wine swirling in the cups, the sharing and breaking of bread, all combined to make that beautiful day a day to give thanks and to show love, honoring God above. This is a very spiritual piece, the spirit intermixed with everything that is done in the day, and as such is inspirational and well-written and lovely.
Nice. Nice comment. And Naomi, how about you? Off mute, Naomi. Off mute.
Yeah, getting there. Well, it's hard to follow up on what Laura said there, Yeah, you know, covered a lot. Yeah, you know, I just want to say a beautiful, beautiful piece. I love, you know, that she incorporated, you know, a lot of things in this poem from writing, you know, a lot of things that I think that Betty enjoys and is thankful for, you know, writing poetry, her loved ones, eating, you know, with the family, with friends, sharing, and, you know, just being thankful and giving honor to God. So I think she really wrote this from the heart, and it's a beautiful, beautiful write. So bravo, Betty. Absolutely beautiful write.
I absolutely agree with that, Naomi. And Dottie, how about you?
Well, it was fun to read. I like that each sentence kind of leads you to the next thought. And her choice of stanza breaks are interesting to me. And I think it adds to the type of, the way that she wants the poem to be read. She starts off, she's contemplating, sitting on the porch. And you just feel like you're there with her, because you've been there, you have been there before, and you've had those same types of what am I trying to say, awareness of things around you. And then they go inside, she goes inside, and continues with the feast, and thankful, and says a prayer to God above. It's a perfect Thanksgiving poem, and kudos to Betty Page.
Nice comment, Dottie. Yeah, this poem, I really like this poem a lot. I said lovely imagery and thoughtful lines throughout. Nicely penned stanzas of 575, which Betty's, you know, number one at doing that. I thought it was excellent work, and I thought it was a great take on the prompt. If you look at the prompt, there's two scenes on the porch with string lights, soft furniture to sit on, candles, and I think that's what the image number six is. But writing poetry needs strings of soft, pretty lights illuminating, contemplative thoughts, whirlwinds rushing through my mind. I write gratitudes, tributes to loved ones here and up in heaven, all of my angels. Shown me such kindness. I'm amazed as I give thanks to all those I love. And then, you know, I couldn't go without picking that last stanza as well. A beautiful day to give thanks and to show love honors God above. And I think that she did a nice job with this. I really liked the piece. So well done, Betty, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Excellent. Excellent day. Now, let me see what I have next. I guess it's my turn. See? It's my turn. And I'm going to read
Bill Shillery.
I'm going to read Bill Shillery, which is called Thanks Living by Bill Shillery. And it's more than two or three lines. It's got about eight or nine, maybe 12. Thanks Living by Bill Shillery. Like cluster of feathered dust, leaves of gold, citrine and brown, rush toward the receiving sky. Shades of crushed pumpkin pie, the foliage fondles my open eyes. As mother coddles stove pans, we can smell green bean casserole with scents of from cloved ham. A fork twists in my hungry hands. The supper is succulent sensation. Sweet cranberry savors turkey. I give thanks. Finish with amen. Now pass the potatoes and gravy. End poem. And Pam, I think I'm going to start with you.
You know, I picture Eugene going, thank you, Lord, for short poems that I can assign to myself.
Yeah. I wasn't really feeling that way tonight. I was just going to, like, take one because I could. But it's okay.
Excellent. And I like this one. I like that with this brevity, he says so much. I really like where he says,
Shades of crusted pumpkin pie, the foliage fondles my open eyes as mother coddles stove pans. This is definitely a mouth-watering poem with so much delicious food brought into it and an appreciation for not only the food but spending time with family. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, cluster of feather dusters, leaves of golds between and brown, rush towards receding sky. It's a very tactile poem. It's almost visceral in its descriptions. Shades of crusted pumpkin pie, mother coddled stove pans, a fork twirls in my hungry hand. The lines are short. They're excellently done. They give a really beautiful vision of what he calls thanks living. Which is a nice way to live, giving thanks on a regular basis. And a little bit of humor at the end. Now I'll pass the potatoes and gravy. Nice job, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And nice to read you.
Thank you. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, this is beautifully done. Like Laura said, you know, the lines are short, but, you know, they're so beautifully written. You know, the strong adjectives, strong wordplay, you know, it's just beautiful. And like Pam said, yeah, it makes you hungry. This is one that really speaks to your stomach. But, you know, me, what got me was the cranberry, sweet cranberry, because, you know, my mom makes the most wonderful cranberry sauce, and she bottles it. And then every time we go up for Christmas or go up for a vacation to see her, everybody, like me and my kids, the whole family, we all go into her cellar, and we grab those cranberry jars and we bring them home with us. So yeah, made me think of that. But wonderful write by Bill here. Wonderfully well done.
Nice comment, Naomi. And Dottie, how about you?
This short little poem had everything in it. There was visual imagery, the leaves, the feather dusters, and tactile also. The font, what was that? The foliage fondling my open eyes, a sense of connection, I think, to the world that we live in, to the natural wonders around us. So we got visual, tactile. There's also the sense of taste. Obviously, the poem is about food and how he describes things such as the green bean casserole and the sense from cloved ham. By the way, it was interesting to me to find out on some some sort of TV show that green bean casserole is the number one side for a Thanksgiving dish. Okay. Yeah. I might say mm-mm. But anyway, also, let's see, olfactory, the smell. I meant to say smell there instead of taste. And then the taste, of course, using words like supper and succulent and talking about the cranberries again. What's Thanksgiving without cranberries? And of course the sense of sound. This is my number one favorite, and I'm so glad nobody mentioned it yet. So here I am. The sound of pork swirling in hungry hands. To me, that's a sense of anticipation and being excited for the meal ahead.
Right.
Overall, it's just full of wonder and a very, very nice job by Bill.
Absolutely. Nice comment. I actually did, Bill did a good job with this. Great imagery. Nicely mm-hmm. touched upon thoughts of dinner and family. I really enjoyed the piece. I kind of grabbed it. I could have taken any section of this the poem itself, but I have mm-hmm. to say, you know, like cluster of feathered dusters, leaves of gold, citrine, and brown rush toward receiving sky, shades of crusted pumpkin pie. He's already starting to think about dessert.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even gotten to the table yet. The foliage fondles my open eyes. I thought it was just well penned and a nice job, Bill. And thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. Excellent.
I have a confession to make.
What's that?
I pondered at first. I was very perplexed. I could not figure out the first sentence. I need to go see my doctor, my eye doctor. But I was seeing like Custer, as in George Custer, feathered dusters. Well, the feathers, of course, I made an Indian reference, a feather, and it tore me up because I couldn't figure out Custer. What does he have to do with this? It wasn't back, you know. Wasn't in 16 whatever, and so glad when somebody read it. It's like, oh, cluster, not Custer. Anyway, word to me, read better next time.
excellent. Okay, let me see now. Pam, that's gonna. Oh no, I just did you, didn't I? Yes, I think I did. So Laurent, I'm coming to you for the next one, and. This is a piece called The Leaves Keep Falling by Cedar Chapman. So whenever you're ready.
All right. The leaves keep falling. The leaves keep falling and I keep raking. Marigold and beige potpourri painted on an emerald palette. Hovering wild mushrooms that feast on delicious pulp. That feast on deciduous pulp. Even in rot, there is bounty for all. Food will be stacked mountain high, like a fungus's reflection, a porcelain canvas of candied yams and roasted jerky, smothered with cranberries and brown gravy, each forkful blushed by the gentle fingertips of cinnamon and clove. We shall be gluttonous on this day. Autumn squash. Harvested from shopping carts, bald gobblers hunted on refrigerated trails. As my son plays Call of Duty, I sweat over our lawn. Too cold for shorts, too hot for pants. I hesitate from grumbling. Thankful I'm stuffing dead foliage in green friendly paper bins instead of body bags. I gladly stay silent. As my princess charms my credit card, expertly marinating me for Black Friday's sale, instead of having to hide her from men pretending to fight for freedom, or that I can quickly switch from the football game to those images of rubble and dead children crush my core to bone dust. But on this day, what I am most thankful for is my father and my mother, who left their sandy home where they had their first kiss, snuck behind Grandpa's back for their first slumber party, when Grandma already knew, because all mothers know, that we can live in this great country, six ragtag immigrants with $300 in our pockets, because that, well, that is what made all the difference in living, difference in hoping, and difference in waking. End poem.
Great read, Laura. What a piece. Naomi, I'm going to come to you first.
Yeah, what a piece that you know, really pulls at your heartstrings. Wow, that phrase, you know, thankful on stuffing dead foliage and green friendly paper bins instead of body bags. You know, he reference of, you know, I think, you know, reference to war there and, you know, reference to, you know, just the gratitude of being in a country where there's no war and, you know, that he's in a peaceful country there and he's able to be doing all these things. Yeah, I, you know, with a little little, it sounds so authentic, you know, that his little princess, as my princess charmed my credit card expertly marinating me for Black Friday sales. Yeah, you know, you can just imagine that, his son playing Call of Duty, the video game on the computer or on the PlayStation or whatever. And yeah, you can just imagine all this, you know, throughout beautiful imagery, amazing metaphors used. Again, we have, you know, the food that just makes us mouth water. But, you know, he goes beyond that, talking about his family that immigrated to the States, you know, with only $300 in their pocket. And, you know, he really gives thanks for everything, you know, the way everything, you know, for being in this great country, I think, in the States. So wonderfully done all the way through Cedar. Amazing, amazing, right?
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Dottie, how about you? Dottie, are you on mute?
Oh, yep. Sorry, stepped away for a minute. I liked what was said about this poem, and it's different from the others, and it's very reflective in kind of a not a dark way, but in a way that makes reference to some hardship. The parents who came to America searching for a better life. He reflects on this as sacrifices made by parents. And there's a grateful sort of understanding about this. Grateful again for the harvest, for the food, for what Thanksgiving represents as far as family, previous generations, but it does allude to a thankfulness of previous sacrifices, the things that brought this person to this point in life. And the imagery is delightful. Marigold and beige potpourri painted on an emerald palette. It speaks to me as an artist. The wild mushrooms that feast on deciduous pulp is just a beautiful arrangement of words. And it's kind of a suggestion of the cycle of life and death in this world. So it's uplifting, but it is reflective, I think. But it's a very nice poem. Very, very interesting.
Nice job. Nice job, Dottie. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I like this. I think it has just brilliant imagery and heartfelt and thoughtful lines. I like that he says in his AN, for my parents who left everything to give us everything. And I think this is a wonderful appreciation for the simple blessings of life and family. And I really like it all the way through, but especially the stanza, the last stanza starts with, but on this day what I'm most thankful for is my father and my mother, and then ends with the line, because that is what made all the difference in living, difference in hoping, and difference in raking. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Nice comment, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
To offer two examples of phrasing that make this a marvelous poem, we shall be gluttonous on this day, autumn squash harvested from shopping carts, bald gobblers hunted on refrigerated trails. Love that last line. In these four lines, I hesitate from grumbling thankful I'm stuffing dead foliage in green friendly paper bins instead of body bags. Points of view in contrast to this caller, a light that shines from the poet's soul, expertly and emotionally written. This poem turned my mind inwards, sense of wonder at the way this was written. Congratulations on a wonderful piece, Peter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought this was an excellent piece. He really nailed the thoughts of reasons to be grateful. I thought it was wonderfully expressed. The depths of his words are so touching. The comment about the body bags. He had just done a poem a few nights back that we read, and he had addressed the travesties of Hamas and what's been going on in the war, and how people just one fellow, he put something up on the board that for everyone to look at. It was an interview, and the man had lost 29 family members. Mm-hmm. And he still sat there and spoke about how to get peace, how to help create peace. And I think that when I read that, those lines about the body bag, my mind went directly over there. And, he's given us reason to pause and think how fortunate we really are in a world that is not always kind. I think it was an excellent job. And Cedar, you never cease to amaze me, man. Never, ever, ever. And that was one of my favorite images up there that he used. I just got to say. Yes, I like the heart-shaped leaves. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here now. Thanks again, Cedar. Let's see now. Marant read that. So, Naomi, I'm going to give you this next one to read. And this is by Jessica C. Wheeler, and it's called Quiet Strength. So, okay, here we go, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Quiet strength. The flow of time trickles through seasons. An ever-moving waterfall pours into autumn's embrace, where transitions occur in the rustling of gold leaves before the dormant cold of winter air. The sun bursts through a canopy of change, a mosaic of fire and light, guiding us through the shadows as we navigate from phase to phase. Gold leaves fall with eloquent grace, floating on the water's surface, carrying seasons past, moving forward, always forward. The creek lined with weathered stones flows with serenity over pebbles and rocks, enduring the cascade of falling water. We challenge this flow by halting, becoming stuck of rushing ahead, disrupting natural rhythm, the peristalsis of nature, interrupted. Be still like the tranquil creek, stand in the balance of love and loss, sorrow and joy, finding the contrasting harmony in decay and renewal. Be thankful for each path with its twists and turns. Find steadiness in motion, a quiet strength in the flow of time. End poem.
Nice read, Naomi. Wow, what a piece. Dottie, I'm coming to you first.
I've been doing the crazy search for the poem, and I listened, but I do need to see it. So I'm going to be reading it.
Okay.
So if you'll come over for a minute.
Pam, are you back?
I am. I actually didn't leave. But
I thought I saw another Be Right Back after I posted. Okay.
Oh, that was right. That's the last poem. I thought this was wonderful, a brilliant imagery and metaphors, an excellent write on the passing of time and counting our blessings as we go through life with all its twists and turns. And I particularly like the lines, golden leaves fall with eloquent grace, floating on the water's surface, carrying seasons past, moving forward, always forward. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Okay. And Laurent, that brings me to you.
The poem that begins with the flow of time trickles through seasons. Forecasts the wonderful flow that this poem has. Just moves so easily and so well from stanza to stanza. For instance, the creek lined with weathered stones flows in serenity with pebbles and rocks, enduring the cascade of falling water. All the way through this, the main metaphor is that a flowing water and the flowing of time side by side together, and how we challenge this flow by halting, becoming stuck, or rushing ahead. It's a metaphor that's very effective for any number of reasons. And be still like the tranquil creek, stand in the balance of love and loss. And that's the quiet strength that is referred to in the title. And the thankfulness that we must evidence for each path with its twists and turns finds steadiness in motion. The very flow that he discusses is what gives the quiet strength in the flow of time and in our lives and in nature. Just a beautiful piece.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, you know, me too, be still with like the tranquil creek, stand in the balance of love and loss, sorrow and joy, finding contrasting harmony and decay and renewal. And also that last stanza, you know, be thankful for each path with each twist and turn. And, you know, I think the whole thought of this poem, you know, we find it in find steadiness in motion, a quiet strength in the flow of time. You know, be thankful for that, for life itself, you know, for being alive. I think that's the first thing you have to be thankful for is being alive and, you know, just enjoying, you know, the moment, appreciating every moment that you can have while you're breathing. And so just a beautiful, beautiful, calming poem. You know, it has a serenity to it, a peacefulness to it. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely. I have to agree with everybody. I thought this is a beautiful and very well-written poem. I admired each stanza coming through. This is one of those that, you know, I thought it was very well expressed, but I want to copy and paste them all, Naomi. You know I can do it, right? So many wonderful lines, but, I mean, it's so hard to just pluck a few out because they really are all wonderful. But I started here. The creek aligned with weathered stones flows with serenity over pebbles and rocks enduring the cascade of falling water. We challenge this flow by halting, becoming stuck, or rushing ahead, disrupting natural rhythm. The peristalsis of nature interrupted. Be still like the tranquil creek. Stand in the balance of love and loss, sorrow and joy, finding contrasting harmony in decay and renewal. And then I grabbed the next one too. Be thankful for each path with its twists and turns. Find steadiness in motion, a quiet strength in the flow of time. I think this is just fabulous and so well done. I told her she should be very proud of this accomplishment. It was great. So, nice job. Now, Dottie, do you want to comment or do you just want to leave something in writing?
Well, just listening, I think that everyone who made comments about this poem used the word beautiful. And it is a very poem, and I get it. The water is such a symbol, and flowing the way the days flow. It's another one of those poems about change and learning to go with the flow, so to speak. It's vivid with imagery, and it's just, I'll say it myself, beautiful. Very nice vibe.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So, Donnie, that brings me to you for the next read, and this one is called Season to Shine by Afasiana.
Okay, so give me a second. Okay. Well, is it on top?
You might have to refresh the room in order to see it, because I just posted it.
Season
to Shine.
See, this is the problem I had last time. I couldn't find it. Let me refresh again, and maybe it's going to be on top. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We all know AP does and does not work sometimes.
Maybe refresh the group room. Yeah.
You know, what I've done in the past is I just shut AP down and open it back up. It's a lot faster sometimes just to start
yeah.
over.
Okay, I found it with a search for Season to Shine. Okay, here we go. A jester's hat set upon the prince of autumn, his vibrancy unmistakable even when solemn, the chill of trauma blanketed by his song. Instead of coveting greener pastures, he set his trouble ablaze in bold brilliance. Between the beauty of his off-color humor and the reflection of his influence, I knew that bright foliage falls too quickly, but I am grateful for being here at the right time to witness this season to shine. End of poem.
Nice read, Dottie. And Pam, that brings me to you.
Oh, this is a beautiful, heartfelt write with amazing imagery and metaphors. I really like how she writes on the person who shines bright like autumn leaves. I especially like his vibrancy, unmistakable even when solemn, the chill of trauma blanketed by his songs. Instead of coveting greener pastures, he set his troubles ablaze in bold brilliance. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice. Nice comment, Pam. And Laurent?
I love a jester's hat sat upon the Prince of Autumn. What a great phrase that is. And what an absolutely stunning photograph that is. One of the most beautiful pictures of autumn in color that I've ever seen. I'm not even sure if it's a painting or whether it's a photograph. Either way, it's absolutely stunning. The chill of trauma blanketed by his song. Instead of coveting greener pastures, he set his troubles ablaze in bold brilliance. What a wonderful way of characterizing autumn as a jester. He sets his troubles ablaze in bold brilliance. And calling it off-colored humor continues the personification quite nicely. The gratitude felt for being there at the right time is well put at the end. But I'm grateful for being here at the right time to witness his season to shine. I enjoy personification. This one is very well done, especially given the short length of the piece. A wonderful, wonderful job of writing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Naomi, how about you?
What a wonderful writer she is, Afasiana. You know, she just has this way of you know, like Laurent just said, you know, of personifying, you know, the autumn and making him into this character.
You know, and me too, I liked the way she finishes it off, you know. I knew that bright foliage falls too quickly, but I'm grateful for being here at the right time to witness his season to shine. And, you know, we have to, you know, because not all countries have, like, fall and winters. And, you know, well, they do, but, I mean, they're not, you know, as flamboyant or, you know, I don't think that their trees change colors. I'm not sure, but, you know, some don't have snow. And, you know, we complain a lot. My gracious, we complain a lot. But, you know, we have to stop complaining and just enjoy, you know, all the beauty that fall brings and all the beauty that each season brings. And I think this what this poem does to us, it makes us reflect on that, you know, instead of complaining about the cold and blah, 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 you know, enjoy it, you know, enjoy all the colors, enjoy all its beauty. So thank you, Ephesiana. Wonderful, wonderful share.
Nice comment. And Dottie, how about you?
Let's see. I think everybody's mentioned so many things that I agree with already. I feel the speakers being impressed by the prince's ability to find joy and also beauty among or amid adversity, and is grateful to this prince experience the beauty of autumn and the talent that that they view. It is a beautiful rite, and it, as someone said, the jester's hat, the first line of the poem, is the thing that drew me in, sat upon the prince of autumn. And I was just kind of delighted to hear that solemn rhymes with autumn, sort of, but enough that it's delightful, you know, as the poem is itself. That's it.
Nice comment. And I'm sure I started off with Pam, I think. But I thought this was beautifully written, Ephesiana, a nicely done personification. And I'm certain that SS has a broad smile in response to the great rite. You know, just wonderful. I think you did a fine job all the way through with this. And give me 2 seconds. And I'm going to have Pam read one piece, and Laurent, then I'm going to have you read yours. So just give me 2 seconds on this, maybe 4. That's a little slow. Okay, Pam. I'm going to have you read this one by Inwalk, but it's called It's the Simple Pleasures. So whenever you're ready.
All right. The front porch of autumn is a gathering place for falling leaves and quiet reflection, with rocking chairs and sips of warm brandy as October's color waved its last goodbye. November blew in with frosted breath, and days disappeared with the fleeting winter sun. Crackling wood fires warmed hearts and homes, while baking bread and hot soups warmed kitchens and bones as we all gathered round the table to share our duty. These are the things that I love best. Seasons changing, family and friends, a sleeping dog at the foot of the fire, and poem.
Great read, Pam. And Laurent, do you want to start this one off?
When I think about simple pleasures, you know, simple is hard, but the pleasures described herein are not complex. They are evident in terms of changing of the foliage, the temperature of the day, the time of the year when we enjoy crackling wood fires with warm hearts and homes, baking bread and hot soups. I mean, these are things that bear weight with me. They connect immediately. And I think that's what is meant by the simple pleasures, things that we share in kind, that we can relate to. The seasons changing, family and friends, and that most iconic of peaceful scenes, sleeping dog at the foot of a fire. When we read that, we know that all is well. Great peace.
Nice job. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, I absolutely love this piece. You know, it's so authentic. It's so down to earth. It's just, you know, it's simply so beautifully authentic. It's, you know, it's everything that you have to, all those simple little things that you should be thankful for every day, you know, and to end it with a sleeping dog at the foot of the fire. That is just so warm. There's just a warmth, a tender warmth to this whole rite that I really, really enjoy. So a beautiful, beautiful piece indeed.
Nicely said, everybody. Dottie, how about you?
Well, it had me from the front porch to the sleeping dog. Everything in between was just so very nicely written and descriptive and warm, cozy, yes. Yeah, very nice work.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And Pam, how about you?
This is a beautiful and thoughtful write all the way through on being thankful for the simple pleasures in life. But I especially like the lines, crackling wood fires warmed hearts and homes, while baking bread and hot soups warmed kitchens and bones. Great lines and very well done.
Absolutely. I think this was just fabulous. A gorgeous piece, wonderful capture from the chosen prompt, because it all just kind of melts together in here. I think it was beautiful. It goes together like the colors of autumn, and I think it was great. So excellent job, Bud, and thanks so much for sharing with us. I really enjoyed this piece very much. Okay, Laurent, I'm good for my word. Because the Option Exists by Laurent Yvonne, whenever you're ready.
All right. Because the Option Exists. The allegro of autumn surges, lifts, and swirls. Its orange fire bleeding into brown. Deer abroad. But what then shall encompass the bare and bent fingers of trees, as the good shepherds of breath point in vivid and varied display to God? Who they say is everywhere, and pray tell why not, fused into sword and stone or blade of grass, beneath which endless worms burrow. Know this, the spirit is alive in the moment, the day of thanks when once strangers became brothers, and a new way was found for a new world. Giving thanks, a simple thing, one might surmise, that its weight is profound, and its many layers lay deep, a depth of gratitude for those who gave, and for those who give still, especially when they have little enough of their own. To those who have much and choose to share, knowing good fortune belongs to all, that greed is your malevolence. Simple gestures accommodate the heart, brighten the soul, bring forth the smile, lessen the toll, lighten the burden. Turkey browns, mashed potatoes form a lake bed to gravy. Stuffing tempts its name. rolls lay steaming in rows of light brown. Cranberries sprinkled with sugar glistened in the candlelight of a table where green beans and corn nestled next to hills of sweet potatoes. Thanks are given, a reflection of a choice we can make because we are able to, not out of any expectation or duty, but because of love for our fellows. Simply put, because the option exists. End poem.
Nice job. Nice read, Laurent. Great piece. That's going to bring me to Naomi first. Naomi?
Yeah, I really liked where you went with this, Laurent, you know, because the option exists. You know, it's not because you have a Thanksgiving and woo-hoo, it's Thanksgiving, you know, that everybody, you know, is really, you know, a good and loving person. The option exists. You choose to be that giving person, that person that shows gratitude, that person that is kind, that is loving. It's a choice that you have. And, you know, I like when you say, you know, you talk about the people that give, that have little to give, but they give anyway. And you talk about the other people that have good fortune, but also, you know, they give because they believe that greed is malevolence. Oh my gracious. And, of course, I really like that, you know, that part. And also the part with the food, oh my gracious, another mouth-watering, great, amazing imagery. But all the way through, right down to the last line, you know, thanks are given a reflection of a choice we can make because we are able to. Not out of any expectation or duty, but because of love for our fellows. Simply put, because the option exists. And yeah, love is everything, you know, in the world today. And we have that option. We have that option of loving or, you know, and being loving and being kind towards our fellow humankind. So I really love this poem. Very thought-provoking, very very spiritual. Beautifully written.
Nice. And Dottie, that brings me to you.
Okay. I love the poem, and it was read so nicely. But the thing about this, I started writing as it was being read, that impressed me is the progression that it is set. Well, maybe it's the way I see it, that there are five very carefully delineated areas of focus. One, the first one is autumn, as it represents the cycle of life and death. And then that moves to another area of focus, which is the beauty of autumn and how all things are connected. The next area would be gratitude and how important it is to be grateful. Then it moves to Thanksgiving feast, and which quickly then moves into a reminder that gratitude is a choice that we can make because we are able to do that. And it's an inspiring rite. It is beautifully stated without being, it's unexpected. There are some words and terms that are unexpected and delightfully so. And I think it's a really good poem about Thanksgiving and togetherness and change. And very festive.
Thank you, Dottie.
Nice comment, Dottie. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is an amazing write. Brilliant imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks on the spirit of gratitude to all who have made sacrifices and how we do have that choice to be grateful for what we have. And I especially like giving thanks a simple thing one might surmise. Its weight is profound and its many layers lay deep. A depth of gratitude for those who gave and for those who give still, especially when they have little enough of their own. Wonderful lines all the way through, Lawrence, and very well done.
There you go.
Thank you, Pam.
This was a beautiful piece, Laurent. It was well penned, and I thought you did a great job with this. I started copying stanzas. Here I go again, copy, copy, copy. But I started, know this, the spirit is alive in the moment. A day of thanks when once strangers became brothers and a new way was found for a new world. And I took the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one, because I almost couldn't stop. I had to put the brakes on. I heard them screeching in my head. But, I liked how you pulled in the, I said the spirit of thanksgiving. Did you hear the air quotes there? Thanksgiving was so well expressed. I appreciated how you drew in the Thanksgiving table in the end. An excellent ending line as well. So fabulous job, and it's good to see you writing again.
Thank you, Gene.
Mm-hmm. Nice work. Okay. So now, yes, I'm good for right now. Naomi, I'm going to put your piece up next. And, here it is. So Grand Yet Simple by Naomi Sarah. There you go. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. So grand yet simple. I'm grateful for your smile that softens my day, a dimpled curve that chases clouds away. For the snuggly cuddles from my granddaughters, as surrounded by family and friends, we share food and wine, nourishing moments that make me feel whole. As our laughter, like music, weaves through the air. For the gentle wind upon my sheet, whispering promises of tomorrow's hopes and dreams, as in its tender caress, finding solace and peace. A quiet reminder that life's wonders never cease. Grateful for hot soup and a chilly night, a hug from within, a source of delight, and morning coffee serenaded by birdsong's cheer. As I drift in a line of a book or inside a song that hums to my soul, words creating a symphony untold, spreading sweet honey through my veins, and butterflies that dance in my brain. Grateful I am for all these blessings, so grand, yet as simple as the warming comfort of your hand in mine and poem.
Nice. Nice, right, Naomi. And Dottie, that's going to bring me to you first.
Let's see. It's very, very nice. I'm getting mostly, I may not make a whole lot. I like the mention of your granddaughter and the cuddle, and the dimple curve was a cute way of saying the smile, I suppose. Gratitude is heavy in this, and words like, where is it? Nourishing moments. Now, those are two words that put together that I never would have thought of together, but how descriptive. Nourishing moments. That in itself is just quite beautiful to me. Serenaded, as it's
place there. They're very nice word. And they all add elegance to the poem, as well as a feeling of closeness and togetherness. It was just great, okay? And my brain is starting to go to sleep, so forgive me for not being totally 100% clear.
It was so
serene. You know, kind of like a lullaby.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is beautiful, heartfelt line. Really an amazing write on being thankful for the blessings of life shared with family and friends. I really like, as I drift in the line of a book or inside a song that hums to my soul, words creating a symphony untold, spreading sweet honey through my veins and butterflies that dance in my brain. Wonderful lines, and very well done, Naomi.
Thank you, Pam.
Yes, absolutely. And Laurent, how about you?
Naomi, I found that secret to a great poem, which I think is in the title, so grand, yet simple. Other poems tonight have dealt with the simple things that make life so beautiful. But I'm just struck by that first stanza. I'm grateful for your smile that softens my day, the dimpled curve that chases clouds away. It's such a simple thing as a smile, an acknowledgement of pleasure or satisfaction or gratitude. It doesn't have to be a new car. It doesn't have to be a huge bank account that makes you happy. Just a simple smile. And as you go through the poem, we are greeted with the snuggly cuddles and granddaughters, the sharing of food and wine, nourishing moments that make me feel whole. But the lines that really, really got me were, as I drift in a line of a book or inside a song that hums to my soul, words creating a symphony untold, spreading sweet honey through my veins, and butterflies that dance in my brain. You just got to smile and read that. It's so expertly emotive. When you say grateful I am for all these blessings, I say grateful I am for this poem. Nicely done, Laurent.
Thank you, Laurent.
Nice comment, Laurent. I thought this was just beautiful imagery on life's simple pleasures that were so very well expressed. You know, I'm grateful for your smile that softens my day, for the snuggly cuddles of my granddaughters. Surrounded by friends, we share food and wine. I love that. You know, because you've hit on so many wonderful things that mean so much. That, you know, for the gentle wind on my cheek, how simple is that, but how wonderful that is. And I love this. Grateful for hot soup on a chilly night. A hug from within, a source of delight, and morning coffee serenaded by birdsong's cheer. I think that was just, I think the whole thing was just wonderfully done. It was delicate, but it was impactful because you pointed out so many things that I think a lot of people take for granted. I'm going to be honest and say it. Happens all the time. We all do it. You know, we don't, might not do it every day, but, you know, we forget about it sometimes. Yeah, you got to count your blessings. So excellent job. Okay.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome, honey. I could have copied them all. I'm telling you. I'm never going to forget I did that, but I had to that night. Now, Dottie, I have your piece up next.
Oh, okay.
Good night, Laurent. Have a good night.
Good night.
This is called Communion.
Good night,
by Anna Weir. So... whenever you're ready.
All right. Communion. We gather. We join hands again. Rejoicing, recalling, memories we share. fireside is crackling, background the sound, tightly woven strands, a blanket home. We gather a giving of thanks, cornucopia of goodness. I'm sorry, I lost my place. Cornucopia of goodness, we heap up our plates and loosen our belts. Taste, sounds, and smell the closeness and heart of communion of food. Gather, we gather, let us all raise a glass and toast to the future, present, and past. End of poem.
Great piece. Great read. And Thanks. Pam, do you want to start us off?
Absolutely. I think this, with the use of repetition, it had a nice lyrical quality, wonderful imagery, really a beautiful write on gathering together to give thanks. And I really like gather, we gather, a giving of thanks, cornucopia of goodness, we heap up our plates and loosen our belts. I thought the "and loosen our belts" was a nice little touch of humor that is very relatable. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, a beautiful piece, Dottie. You know, I just love how it starts out, gather, we gather. You know, that you put the emphasis on on being together, on we join hands again, rejoicing, recalling memories we share. And, you know, that's so true, you know, when you get together with your family, with your friends, and, you know, and you share those memories, and when you're reading your poem, we can just hear, you know, the chuckles and the laughter and the stories being told, you know, around the fire there. And then you go into the meal, of course, you know, the eating of the meal, and then you finish it off in such a beautiful way. Gather, we gather, let us raise a glass and toast to the future, present, and past. And yeah, we have to be thankful for, you know, those memories created in the past, you know, because that brought us towards what our present is now. So, you know, just a beautiful piece all the way through, Dottie, and very well done.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I thought this was excellent, Dottie. Very well written piece. Great job. And I loved your use of repetition. I thought it worked very well.
It's kind of new for me.
Sorry?
I said that it was kind of a new device for me.
Right, right. Well, it worked really well in this piece. You know, gather, we gather, a giving of thanks, cornucopia of goodness. We heap up our plates and loosen our belts, relish the taste, sounds and smell, the closeness and hearty communion of food. And that's a wonderful thing, because that's the unity of all coming together to share a meal and I'm lacking a word here, but I think you know what I mean. And I love this last little stanza. I just absolutely loved. Gather, we gather, let us all raise a glass and toast to the future, present, and past. I thought that was a fabulous way to end this. It added something, I don't know, I thought it was very rich way yeah. to bring it to an end or a close, and I thought it was just well done. It's a nice work. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all the comments.
Well, we appreciate the share. Let me see now. Wow, I got a bunch of carryovers for tomorrow. Anybody whose piece is not read tonight will be on my board for tomorrow night. And so if you don't hear it, it doesn't mean that we didn't like it. It just means we didn't get there, because I can't believe that it's 10 minutes of 12 already. I mean, tonight just blew past.
I'm going to have to see it. And catch up with you next time.
Okay, Dottie. Well, we appreciate you calling in and hanging with us all night. It was fun.
Oh, fun. Thank you very much, all of you. And happy Thanksgiving to all.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Good night, darling.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Now, I'll put this last piece up. And Naomi, I'm going to ask you to give this one a read for us. And here we go. This is called Harley's Poem by Jody Mills.
Okay. Harley's Poem. Are you a life force? Will you use your free will to guide you and charter your course? Make decisions to shape your life in such a way that a smile from you changes a broken soul's day? Know that you're my heart in every single way. You've had me wrapped around your pinky ever since your first day. Commit to your choices, come what may. Your hard lessons learned will serve you one sunny day. Exude confidence and compassion for the people you meet. Always look them in the eye. Use your smile to greet. You can do this, sweet princess. If you try, you'll sleep better knowing you did your best. When the wind whispers, take the chance and let curiosity reign. Remember, you'll never get struck by lightning if you don't dance in the rain. Always know there are people to guide you through, so keep your ears open. Take what resonates in you and toss the rest aside. And know you're the source of your father's joy inside. Your journey will take many shapes and forms. Stay true to yourself. Don't allow anyone to misguide you or tempt you to conform. You are your own captain. Your life is your ship. Find happiness. Seek solace in all relationships. Daddy will always be there, no matter the distance between us. My guidance will always be in your heart. In this you must trust. Most of all, be true to yourself. Trust your intuition. It's your greatest power. Never doubt it, especially during your weakest hour. You'll always be Daddy's little girl. And most of all, share your love with the world. It needs it. End poem.
Wow, what a sweet poem. And Pam, do you want to start us off?
Oh, this is definitely a sweet poem. And what a sweet-looking girl. And you can tell that he has a lot of love and a lot of pride for her. And I really like how this, all the way through, this poem is filled with love and words of wisdom that he's offered up to his daughter. You know, you can tell he's really thankful for her. I really like, commit to your choices, come what may. Your hard lessons learned will serve you one sunny day. And then also where he says, Daddy will always be there no matter the distance between us. My guidance will always be in your heart. In this you must trust. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, you know, what a sweet poem. And it's such tender and loving thoughts and, you know, advice from a father to his little girl. You know, she truly has him, like he says, wrapped around. That was so cute when he says, you have me wrapped around. She has me wrapped around her little pinky. That was so cute. But, you know, the last stanza too, you'll always be Daddy's little girl. And most of all, share your love with the world. It needs it. And, you know, I think that's the most greatest of advice you can give to a child, you know, to share their love with the world, because yeah, the world needs love. It really does. So such a beautiful, tender write. Wow. Just amazing.
Absolutely. I thought this was a beautiful piece written from father to daughter and such a wonderful share. As something for her to cherish for the rest of her life, you know. Sweet and loving support was expressed so well throughout. I wasn't really sure where to begin because I thought the whole thing was great. And here we go again, Naomi, right? It's awful. I'm telling you, I have trouble making these decisions. But Danny will always be there no matter the distance between us. My guidance will always be in your heart. In this, you must trust. Most of all, be true to yourself. Trust your intuition. It's your greatest power. Never doubt it, especially during your weakest hour. You'll always be Daddy's little girl. And most of all, share your love with the world. It needs it. And that's very true in this day and age. Everybody needs to show, you know, to share their love about now because the world is crazy. It really is. But I have to say, Jody, I think that this was just beautifully done. And, you need to get this printed up and framed. I'm sure she would love that. Anyway, great job, and thanks for sharing with us. Wonderful, wonderful poem to share tonight. Because, our kids are really something to be thankful for, always. And it's five of. I wonder if I can squeak in. Oh, you know what? I think I have a little one. Yes, I do. This one is called Bounty, and it's by CM25, and I have an audio. So let me put this one up.
All right.
And let me hit the button. Oh, you got it, PM? I'm sorry. I forgot.
Yep.
I forgot myself. Sorry.
Bounty. A fall leaves fall. A bounty is brought. With family in thought, we gather around a table, hands, hearth heap, in fiery link, around a table of a bounty. A bounty graciously gathered by those we keep. We seek a bounty. We eat a bounty. In thought, we keep a bounty. A bounty. Times have gathered. On a round table, passing rounds of round pumpkin pie. So sweet. Of bounty's thoughts, many thanks. We pray on a bounty. Thank you.
Nice job, Pam. And Pam, do you want to start us off in this?
Oh, this is a lovely brevity on being thankful for all we have. And I really like that first stanza, especially. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi? Off mute,
Naomi. This was a great poem for, giving thanks for family, for everything, the food that you have. Just giving thanks for everything and a great right to that prompt. So wonderfully done, CM25.
Yep. I'm not sure where to put the brakes on here, but I thought this was well done by CM. A great write on the abundance that we're so blessed to have. Not everyone is so blessed, so we have to realize that that we are lucky. We are lucky. Those of us that have, and we always need to remember to give to those of us who have not. And I think it was just well written. I started at the very beginning because a fall leaves fall. A bounty is brought with family and thought. We gather around a table, hands, hearth, heap, and fiery link around a table of a bounty. You know, we all come together to eat and to share. And that sharing of that meal is such a symbolic thing to me. You know, it's like, you know, no matter what goes on the rest of the year, you know, we should all do our best to put the brakes on the disagreements or the tension that run between us. Because God knows sometimes it's really hard to like your family. I know that anyway. The rest of you may not. But set it all aside and, you know, you're just trying to wipe the slate clean and start over here and share in the beauty of the abundance. So nicely done, CM, and thank you so much for sharing with us all. Great poem. Yes, so I don't know. We've got, like, I don't know, 300 more poems for tomorrow night. anyone who wants to call in tomorrow night and help us read, that would be much appreciated.
I'll probably be there.
Yeah, we have. I was surprised that we had some, well, I couldn't believe how fast tonight went, but I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I have 12. 11. Sorry, I lied. There's 11 left. And, yeah, so they will definitely be on tomorrow night's show. And, because there's just no way. We had quite a few tonight. And I'm glad we got through as many as we did. And, yes, so ladies, it was a pleasure hanging out with you all night. And thank you so much, Dottie, for calling in. Thank you, Laurent, for calling in. And I know Kind Poet was on the board for a while, and Robbie was on the board for a while. And I'm not sure if anybody else was on the board for a while, because I never seem to be able to juggle that board. I get all turned around when I try and do that. So, but definitely, yeah.
Faziana was there, too.
Yep, you're right. I did see her. I did. I got a bad memory. I have to tell the truth. But, so it was a great night of poetry. Wonderful, wonderful nights from everyone. Very
absolutely
enjoyable. So I want to thank everyone for hanging out with us tonight and for sharing your work. And, such incredible poems, you know, definitely, definitely beautiful. So, and I look forward to reading the rest of them tomorrow night, honestly. It should be good. So with that being said, I want everybody to have a great night and a wonderful day tomorrow. And I will hopefully catch up with some of you tomorrow night. Because, you know, that's the way we do it. And Pam, thanks for running the phones. And, all kinds of stuff, me and all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, it's good stuff. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.